Hey, Riverfront, this is Pastor Chelsea, and welcome to the 505 Podcast. I am joined today by Pastor Laura of First and Central for being here.
Glad to be here.
Not just to be here, but to host it. We're coming to you live from First and Central Presbyterian Church.
Happy as always.
Laura, tell us a little bit about First and Central, a little bit about how you got here. Why are we here today?
Well, you know, First and Central has been here a lot longer than me. It is a historic church. Comes out of the merger of First Church, which dates back to Revolutionary times, and Central Presbyterian, which dates back, Civil War times, and they merged together about 100-ish years ago. And so we are the beneficiaries of all of that work and all of that history. And so we sit here right on one of the corners of Rodney Square, across from the DuPont Hotel, which gives us a sense of history and place, which is part of the identity of the church, because this congregation chose to stay downtown when many were leaving in the 60s. And so there's been good and difficult things that come out of that choice, because as the city has its ups and downs and changes, and the neighborhoods that are within walking distance even of this building change and roll over, how the city interacts with the church that sits on the corner of Rodney Square changes. So part of what drew me to First and Central a year and a half or so ago was that history, and starting to read the context of where we sit and what that means for a congregation is very much like many Presbyterian churches. We're getting older and smaller.
Yeah, and that is that history, and those questions are some of what drew us as Riverfront to First and Central, right? Just really encouraged and have felt supported by so many of your folks, especially as we were launching the Wilmington Kitchen Collective, and as folks got word of what we were doing over at Grace Methodist, and a couple of faithful servants here said, well, what about our kitchen? And hey, have you thought about expanding? And at that point, it was a shock that we were going to run one kitchen, and two kitchens is not on our radar. But as Friends of Riverfront know, our waiting list was growing long, and the opportunity to expand and to be here, again, kind of at such an important corner of the city and so close to the business district and so close to a lot of community activity that happens in Rodney Square, it felt like a gift of an opportunity, and still feels like a gift of an opportunity. And so, those conversations were probably, just thinking timeline, 3 years ago now. And as many of you know, listening to this podcast, about a year and a half ago, we opened the kitchen here at First and Central. And I think from that, it has also become a gift of ministry, right? Not just in the kitchen, but to have you as a friend as you've moved here, and to find these ways to collaborate in worship.
Yeah, it was fun to get here just as that was coming to fruition, and to get to learn alongside the congregation what it looks like to host folks in our kitchen doing that, but also to see the excitement of that part of our building getting extra ministry. And no, there's something about being able to encourage and support small businesses, and the people who are those small businesses. That's been really exciting to watch my people think about. So we're going to have an event. Maybe we should check and see if there's an entrepreneur who could be part of that with us. So that's been super exciting. Mm-hmm. But it is one of the challenges of being a big fancy church in a downtown area, that we it's hard for us to express our identity in this building because we're not necessarily the people that you would expect to see in this great big traditional looking building, because these folks are progressive and are really interested in advocating for and pursuing justice in all realms of life. And so it's reflected in the materials that we want to use. It's reflected in the way that that we worship is very traditional, but the language that we use in our liturgy comes from a place that's more accessible. Mm-hmm. And hopefully my preaching moves us toward action in supporting folks who don't look like us, don't sound like us, but also those who do.
Yeah. And all of that has helped this space feel very comfortable and natural for me as I've guest preached here and shared in worship with y'all a few times. And it's a lot of why I'm really excited for Lent. So friends, if you don't know, we are entering, and probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, we will be in the season of Lent. This season in the Christian church that, right, you can probably hear the sirens on the back of this podcast. We are right downtown. We joked right before we hit record that it was going to happen at least once. So there was once. So this season in the Christian church, this Lenten season, as we prepare for Holy Week and Jesus's journey to the cross, but also to the empty tomb, right, to Easter. Laura, it's kind of confusing if you're not a part of the church to know, like, when is going to be that day when folks are going to be walking around with ashes on their heads? When does this season begin?
Right. It's always a mystery, if we're honest.
Yeah.
Because it's not tied to our calendar. It's tied to that ancient calendar that has multiple years in one of our years. And so usually I go to my calendar and Google Easter.
Yeah.
And that gives me a sense, because I know it's going to be 40-ish days prior, right? Because we do 40 days, not counting Sundays. We find it, the other way to find it is to look at Mardi Gras. Mm. Because Lent is the season that follows Mardi Gras season, that starts with Epiphany and ends with Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras itself, right? And then the next day is Ash Wednesday, which is when we stop partying and get serious.
Yeah. And often that transition can feel very sudden, at least to me, right? It's like this. If we have like really been serious about our celebration on Tuesday and in this Epiphany season, that shift into Lent can sometimes come a little harshly.
Yeah, and it's kind of intentional, right? Like, it is, this is when we stop. And that's part of why it gets pretty intense, that celebration, as it leads up. Because, honestly, the goal is to get rid of all of those things that are in your kitchen that you're not supposed to eat. Mm. Like, back in the day, it was you were getting rid of all the fats and the oils and the sugars and all of those things. Now, most of us still eat those during Lent, unless it is something we give up as a practice.
Yeah.
But that was a point at which he said, all right, we got to have all of it done. And then we move to a place of searching and, you know, the fancy word is penitence, but that idea of really looking inward and taking stock in a way that's different from those New Year's resolutions that we're really focused on kind of that spiritual side.
Yeah.
And how is it with my heart? Mm-hmm. How is it with my connections between you and me, between God and me, and my community and me? And what are some ways that I can engage maybe readings. It might be community practices where we're listening to contemplative music together. It could be coming up with a practice that takes me outside every day so that I'm noticing and experiencing wonder more often. Mm-hmm. But these practices for a season that help us to understand really where are we in those many relationships.
Yeah, I always appreciate the when this season happens and the fact that it is typically at least 6 weeks post New Year's.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think New Year's has so much external glitter and glam about new year, new you, and all of that. And typically by the time we get to Lent, I have failed at whatever I was trying to do on January 1.
Right? Or I'm so exhausted.
And yes, I'm
exhausted. I can't even think new year, new you. I've got some time now.
Yes.
And I know what's happening in the new year. Maybe now is a time.
Yeah.
For me to, maybe not all new me, but at least think through where are we?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm often rebelling against that new year, new you as much as I can, but still feeling some of those pressures.
For real. Yeah.
It's I don't want to do all this new stuff, but maybe I should be. And then by the time we get to Lent, there's just a different focus for me and a different, maybe not focus, but orientation.
Yes.
When that is grounded in my relationship with God. And that therefore my relationship with other people.
Yes.
And myself, right? It's just a different, feels less commercial. It feels more personal. It feels more intentional. And there's something for me about the season of Lent and the ways that we progress towards Holy Week and then the ways that we progress through Holy Week that just feel right.
And has that changed for you over time? Because I can remember the first Lent that I decided I was going to actually stop something as a practice, right? Mm-hmm. I gave up caffeine for Lent.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for me, it was really legalistic. It was actually,
yes,
just, okay, so nope, not today, nope, not today. So for all of those days, and then I found myself at the end of that season, in the 2 weeks before Easter, leaving Florida, where I was living at the time, and going to Texas to be at my father's bedside as he died.
Mm.
And of all the things I could be thinking about during that time, I was distracted by, do I continue not drinking caffeine? Or is it okay for me to stop this discipline this close to Easter? I literally was,
yeah,
so caught up in the how do I do this practice that it had no meaning for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I made it all the way to Easter,
yeah,
without having my caffeine. But when I approach practices now,
mm-hmm,
it's not about that I'm going to do this from here to here and prove to myself that I can do,
yeah,
it. It's really more about what is it that would help me to release some of the distractions, not add a distraction,
yep,
but release some of those distractions,
yep,
in my relationship. And it's taken me a little bit to get there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that orientation of this is about relationship with God and less distractions, and not I have to follow these rules,
yeah,
in order to be good and in order to be loved,
yeah,
right? And I think that change of orientation is one that, at least with the Riverfront community, that many are going through, right? Many,
right,
were for a long time told that they were bad, that they were sinful, that they were going to hell if they did not follow these rules.
Oh gosh, I thought for,
right,
a while that if I didn't have daily morning quiet time, I was not actually a Christian.
Yeah,
right?
Because that is such a high priority. And
yeah,
you and I have both talked about how our best quiet time happens in late afternoon and in the evening.
Yep.
That is our space for reflection and,
yep,
for neither of us are really morning people. Yeah. And like to start the day with, I now have to be quiet. Like I want to sleep an extra 20 minutes.
Yes, that's what my morning quiet time looks like.
Right?
It's the snooze button.
It's the snooze.
It's the snooze button.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the snooze button is a holy practice in my life.
Yeah.
Right? Like allowing myself to like continue to rest a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And my husband laughs that like then if I hit it too many times, like then the morning is a little chaos, right? And I'm like running to get out the door. Mm-hmm. But I'm happier for that little bit of extra rest.
Right.
And then I'm like more likely, and no matter what, like I find those moments of reflection better later in the day.
But you know, I think finding these practices can be as much a discovery that comes organically like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, so if I am really regimented in the morning, what does it feel like to let things happen?
Yeah.
Right? What does it feel like to build more rest in? Maybe I can't do it in the morning by snoozing because that time is tight, because my family situation requires me to do all the things. But maybe there are ways that over a course of this Lenten period, I discover, oh, you know what? If I schedule my meetings to end 10 minutes before the next one instead of 1 minute before the next one, I have time to rest.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, so maybe I'll build more of that in and discovering, you know what? I do have time for one snooze. Oh, you know what? I could maybe watch one less episode on Netflix before I turn off the TV and actually, you know, like relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love the move away from prescriptive practices.
Oh, yeah.
To that more organic, more descriptive, you know, how can you connect more fully to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what is it that would help you to do that? What would help you to connect more fully to God? And even asking, how can we help you?
Hmm.
How can I help you?
Yep.
How can we together do these things? That feels much more likely to help me get to Easter.
Mm.
And especially those harder days of Holy Week right before Easter.
Yep.
In a mindset that is open to what those three important days have to teach us about faith.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And as we like look at those days, that very like quick progression of death to mourning to resurrection.
Right.
Right. And think about like in life how that process is much longer than 3 days.
Woo,
right.
Yeah.
And I'm just struck by the times that when I am in a healthier space of grace for myself, but also attuned to the spiritual practices that are important to me, that then when grief happens, when change happens, I am better prepared for that Good Friday, right? When I have really done Lent, but like done Lent over, maybe it's not Lent, I am more prepared for Good Fridays of my life.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Because the idea isn't just, I'm going to find a practice and I'm going to play with it for Lent. Yeah, I might, turns out, might not be great at XYZ, right? That
yeah.
Like, morning quiet time. Might not be the one that I keep, but I might adapt it into an afternoon time or an evening time, or I might find something else. And the beautiful thing is it doesn't have to stop just because Lent ends.
Yes.
I can continue that out. And just like all of the other ways that we build resilience in our lives,
mm-hmm.
whether it be through a therapeutic relationship or deep friendships, a supportive community, all of those ways that we build resilience, a spiritual practice can hold us too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we know there is absolutely no escaping those Good Fridays going to smack us.
Yeah.
And there's, because we've all experienced losses of all kinds, there are anniversaries throughout the year that sneak up on us, that our bodies know before we do, that we're all of a sudden back in grief. Maybe not as deep as it was the year before, but certainly deeper than it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And so having a practice and having a community that knows how to practice with you is so critical.
Yeah. And I think like that piece of how to journey together, how to be aware of our own needs and how to journey together.
Yes.
Is some of why I'm so excited about this Lenten material we are using.
Me too.
Yeah, so...
All right, so what drew you first?
The title. So, friends, if you haven't already seen it, for Lent, we are, First and Central and Riverfront, we are collaborating with some materials from our friends at Sanctified Art. Mm-hmm. And the title is Wandering Heart. And that is what drew me first.
Did you pick up what it was from?
No, I did not. And so I just was drawn to it because I most days feel like a wanderer. Like I...
Which makes sense, right? Given the way that you office and...
Yeah, right.
where you are in life right now.
Yeah, like there's a lot of transition in life. I technically have an office here at First and Central. And it's supposed to be my primary space of work, and I am like never here, because I'm often at either at Grace or in the community or at our third kitchen or like a lot of other places. I feel like I kind of ground here like once a week, but I'm a wandering spirit. And sometimes I like that. And sometimes I like discipline and routine. And so, to think about like the gifts of a wandering heart, the gifts of the journey and the path. I was excited about that.
Yeah, I am the opposite of a routine person.
Mm. And we should switch jobs,
right?
We're not really going to switch jobs.
No, it would be a disaster.
Yes.
Because gifts are gifts. Yes, calls are calls. No, but I'm not that person.
Yeah.
And so I am prone to wander. Like I wander a lot, and I caught pretty quick that this was from that old hymn.
Yeah.
Prone to wander. Yeah. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Right. I am your. Person who of faith who has been like a tetherball, connected to God and yet way out sometimes and wandering back toward that pole and then way back out again. And I feel that in my marrow every time we sing it. And also that grounding center that we come back to. When the wandering is over.
Yeah.
And so I think when I think about my heart and what it needs, it needs this time of reminding where that center lies and what I'm connected to. So I'm really excited about that, but I'm also excited because it's Peter.
Yeah.
And I so relate to Peter.
Right? And like how often do we just study Peter's story?
We don't. I mean, because Jesus, fair enough, is the main character.
Yeah, right.
So it's kind of a sidekick story. But is he not the most relatable?
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
every time.
You know, there's Doubting Thomas, and everybody goes, yeah. You know, I could be like Thomas, but seriously, Peter.
Yeah.
It's Peter.
Right, and it's Peter over and over again. And I think, we don't get a lot of the other disciples' stories, but I think Peter... often is the voice that we hear that makes me wonder, like, how many other people in that room were thinking it.
He's the one who says the thing that everyone is thinking.
He does.
Right? He just names it.
Yep.
He just names it.
He's and this is the mess.
It's possible. I mean, we don't know. It is conceivable that the writers of the Gospels kind of did that to him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe it was the other guys who said things, but because he said things often enough,
it just
kind of lands on him, right? Yeah. Maybe. But it's entirely possible also that he was the one who said all these
things.
But also he's the one who decided he was going to try to walk on water. And he was the one who swam back to the shore buck naked when they saw Jesus after the resurrection.
Right.
And he's the one who denied him. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who said, yes, I love you.
Right.
And so he's all of those things.
Yep.
And all of the ways that my heart wanders away from that center pole and comes back, that's Peter.
Yeah. You know? Over and over again.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get thee behind me, Satan. Who does Jesus say that to? Peter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to build my church on you.
On you.
Blockhead, rock man, Petra. Right?
Yeah, no, there is so much. I feel like there's so much hope for humanity in Peter's story.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I literally cannot wait to dig into it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, even as somebody who, I feel like I'm often in that pattern of, like, I like routine, I like the steady, but in the steady, I'm also often one asking questions and, like, asking them in my close circles very loud but also asking a lot internally. And so I also just appreciate Peter's story in thinking about, like, what else was he wrestling with that we don't hear?
Yes.
And if we hear as much as we do, like, again, what else was there?
Right. Because in these little stories that we get, we can see, especially if we're willing to use our holy imagination, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're willing to kind of fill in some of those colors that aren't there. We can see a man with deep emotions who's wrestling with stuff.
Yep.
Right? And then, you know, we talked about how this Lenten period prepares us for that crazy 3-day period and life after resurrection. When we look at the book of Acts and what Peter is faced with and what he walks through and what he does, it's so clear that this time with Jesus changes him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And prepares him for some really wacky situations, mm-hmm. if we're honest.
Yeah. I mean, the arc of Peter from beginning to end is pretty... It's just crazy to me.
He is fishing. And he ends up preaching.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I am excited to follow Peter's story. We won't... we get most of the highlights in this liturgy. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's not as much in the post-resurrection. I think we get a couple of weeks after, but to just think about this time of preparation for Peter and to kind of enter the story through Peter's perspective, a perspective that I think is often missed.
I think so too. And it's interesting to think about looking at this story from... It is like it's an insider-outsider perspective, mm-hmm. you know, because the main story is Jesus, for sure, but watching that happen through Peter's eyes and as much as we can through his heart, then I think it allows us to enter into the Jesus story more deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is pretty exciting. And then, you know, as we go through the rest of our lives together in worship and study and run across stories later of Peter, we've got this to hold on to come back to. Mm-hmm. Because all the things that we learn in this period of time, that's what we're carrying forward, you know. So I love that it's just going to be a whole nother little tool in the tool belt, so mm-hmm. to speak, as we look at stories down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also excited, not just for the material that we're using, but to be intentionally on this journey together with our two communities.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There's ways that they're very similar, and there's ways they're very different. And so excited we've been dreaming a bit about worship and, like, what the actual services look like. I'm particularly excited for our times of study together.
Yeah.
And really hoping that folks will engage. I get that like maybe twice a week is too much, but that you might like rotate between which option. Because we have a Tuesday morning on Zoom, yep. Which is traditional for First and Central.
Yeah, 8:30
on Zoom,
which is fun for a not morning right? person pastor yeah. to lead. So I love having lots of voices. We do. It is not me teaching.
Yeah,
it really is us together wrestling with mm-hmm. what do we see in the yeah. scripture, and those conversations will often shape what I end up preaching on Sunday mornings, because I always learn something. Hmm. And it's that whole idea of multiple voices, multiple eyes, multiple perspectives coming together to understand what that story is.
Yeah, and then traditional on the riverfront side of things, we typically meet Wednesday nights at Deco Food Hall uh-huh. at 5:30. And those Wednesdays will be a post-Sunday reflection, right?
Okay, so looking back.
Looking backwards. So hopefully, like, my hope is that you might do Tuesday and look ahead. And then on Wednesday, look back.
Yes.
That space is also one full of just so many questions. I often joke that I have never had to prepare for a study group, reflection group, like I prepare for Wednesday night, because the questions that come, I often am saying, I don't know, I'm going to do some research and get back to you.
Ooh, all right.
And just grateful for the depth of questions there. And again, it's a space that I'm doing a little bit of teaching. I feel like I'm more guiding and yep. facilitating.
Yep.
So appreciate the lots of voices. And we always have dinner. And so, the hope is that folks will join us in person for some reflection conversation on Wednesday nights.
Yes, that would be great. Yeah, I'm clearing my calendar for some Wednesdays.
Yeah, and me for some Tuesday mornings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, friends, hopefully you've heard these themes of throughout of the ways that we'll be looking at really traditional stories, but with questions of today, right? And questions of how does this affect your life right now, right? Like not just Peter's life 2,000 years ago, but what does this look like for you? Really excited about some creative worship that we are in the midst of planning and that you'll hear more about soon, specifically around Holy Week. It's gonna be a really beautiful week
yeah.
together. Yeah, any final thoughts on this Lenten season?
I don't know. I think it's really interesting. It just struck me that we're talking about wandering heart, and Ash Wednesday is Valentine's Day.
Right? Oh, it is. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't quite make that connection mm-hmm. before thinking about that. But I'm excited for the same reasons. It's been fun when we've let you all at Riverfront know what we're doing, like for Liturgy of the Weary or other yeah. opportunities to worship, to see folks from Riverfront come and worship with us. And I know that some of my folks have really appreciated being able to come and worship with you. And so to be intentional about let's be church together
yep.
Feels really good and right. And I think a good practice mm-hmm. to pick up for Lent,
right?
To expand this this community into a larger community and really try to get to know one another.
And those right yeah. the gifts of more traditional spaces and the gifts of creative, not preaching every week worship
yeah,
and vice versa, right?
Yeah.
The gifts of meeting in a cafe and the gifts of more regular liturgy, like there are gifts across the board.
Yeah.
And I'm really hopeful that folks will explore spaces that they're less familiar with this Lent. and might expand what worship looks like for them on both sides.
Right.
One of the phrases in Come Thou Fount is tune my heart.
Yes.
And my heart is very much attuned to both spaces, and I think that is some of the beauty, but also some of the like constant questions for me is like, what is enough and what is right in both spaces. And so I'm excited to be in both a little more this Lent.
Yeah, my heart yearns for difference instead of routine.
Yeah.
And so the opportunity to engage in a very different kind of worship is something that my heart needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that's one of the reasons I'm excited about it too. And I know that it can be daunting to kind of cross that threshold into someone else's worship space,
because
you just don't know. You don't know what it's going to be like. You don't know, are they really going to welcome?
Yeah.
You know? And I can say with confidence, I have been welcomed when I have showed up.
Yeah. And I have been welcomed here really beautifully.
Yeah. And so I hope and pray that as folks from either of our communities feel a little adventurous and decide to check out the other space, that they too will trust and hope and feel that beautiful welcome as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So friends, you'll hear similar themes and liturgy no matter which space you show up in. Yeah. And we are excited to continue this journey together, right? This journey that kind of started in the kitchen and now is helping us create lives of worship together. And so, Laura, thanks for your wide welcome always, and for starting, we're recording this early, actually, friends, so for starting the day with us. Thanks.
Happy to do it, and thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. Friends, as always, you can continue to find us online and in person, and so Sunday nights, worship here begins at
Sunday mornings.
11 a.m. at First and Central, it starts at 11 a.m. Yeah. At Riverfront in the evenings at 5:05, currently meeting at Grace Church until Easter, and then we're back on the Riverfront, and I'm ready. And then again, Tuesday mornings on Zoom, and Wednesday evenings at Deco Food Hall. So lots of ways to plug in, lots of opportunities to engage. Whatever your Lenten practices look like, friends, I hope you give yourself grace. I hope you are gentle with yourself and that you just pay attention to your heart and what you need in this season. Know that we're here to walk with you and alongside you, and as always, it's a gift to be in ministry together. So, blessings on your season.